To a group of toddlers, a woman sings, "Where are our hands? Where are our feet? Where are our feet?" The room they're in has some colourful playmats on the carpeted floor and some toys scattered around.
These children are hiding in the basement of a church in Ukraine.
Shake them, wave them, here are our hands. Two fair-haired little boys grin, then another one turns on the spot.
Russian forces found them. Then they disappeared.
A number of empty wooden cribs and two rooms separated with glass doors. A large window is covered with blinds.
Thousands of Ukrainian children have been taken to Russia since the war started.
A box full of children's shoes, then an inquisitive-looking toddler with love written on her purple t-shirt.
This investigation goes in search of some of the missing and follows a trail of evidence that leads to the heart of power in Putin's Russia.
A woman with short, wavy brown hair walks along a corridor wearing a bulletproof vest. The empty wooden cribs are packed close together in the room. The woman says, "You can sense the crime here." A doll with blonde hair in one of the cribs. The woman continues, "It hangs in the air, it's frozen. The feeling I can't get rid of. It's definitely not fear. Not anxiety, not despair. I feel a cold rage." A bag full of colourful plastic bricks, then the toddlers playing in the basement. Putin and Ukraine's stolen children. Driving by run-down buildings and closed shops in a vacant city, Kherson, Ukraine. Hashtag BBC Panorama. Sitting in the back of the moving car with the window open, the brown-haired woman says, "I'm Victoria Novikova. My job is to search for Ukrainian children who were stolen by the Russians."
Victoria Novikova is investigating what happened to 48 children who went missing from Kherson. They disappeared after Russian forces took control of the city.
The Kherson Children's Home had kids with special needs and children from different backgrounds. She flicks through some documents on her lap. There were orphans, some who had relatives and some who didn't. Footage of the children in the basement. She continues, there were also children who had no problems with their parents. A dark-haired little girl with a pale face smiles excitedly. Victoria's getting out of the car with her backpack onto a tree-lined street. Footage of two women with short hair carrying babies.
This Russian footage shows the children, all aged under five, being taken away.
A Russian soldier kisses a baby's hand. Victoria explains, the Kherson Children's Home was ripped apart by the Russians. By a bus, a Russian man carrying a child says, "Here he is." Victoria, they took the children away in different directions. In the Russian footage, a woman carrying a little boy points to the camera and says, "Look what's there." The babies are on the buses. Victoria says, absolutely brazen abductions.
Shortly after the children were taken, Ukrainian forces regained control of Kherson, making it possible to go there.
Opening a door.
Victoria, who has a 15-year-old son, decided to investigate the children's disappearance.
She walks along a sunny path that's surrounded by greenery, then heads inside a large white building. While peering out the window from inside, she says, "Now I have a mission. My job is to return these children." She leans on one of the cribs. It is also very important to identify those involved in this crime.
Хто причетний до цього злочину?
She gazes at the empty cribs. This is an extremely difficult process. A painting on the wall of some cartoonish rabbits inside the basket of a hot air balloon, now soaring over a forest.
Returning children back to Ukraine from Russia is not easy. It involves complex negotiations between two countries at war. Russia says it'll only consider returning a child if a parent or legal guardian makes an application. Volunteers like Victoria are helping the Ukrainian government. It's overwhelmed with cases.
In a car, Victoria asks, how many kilometers does it show? 2. 22.
Victoria's found the mother of a child taken from the children's home in Kherson.
Victor, aged 2. The woman driving the car wearing sunglasses says, we're going to Uliahaz village. Her son was in the Kherson children's home. Victoria, she's heard no news about him, absolutely nothing. She points and adds, here. The other woman notes, is that Uliaha? Yes, it's Uliaha. They both get out of the car. A little blonde girl with her hair in pigtails is running across the grass. Uliaha explains, I have 2 children. My daughter Veronica, she's 4 years old. Veronica smiles while hanging from a low tree branch. And my son Victor, he'll be 3. He was 2 when I last saw him. Ulia has a slim white woman with dark hair tied back in a ponytail. Victor has pale skin and blonde hair.
Victor was born with a serious condition that made feeding him difficult. He was being cared for temporarily at the children's home while he was waiting for an operation.
Ulia says, I had to leave Victor at the children's home because I couldn't feed him. He was due to have surgery when the war broke out.
Uliha and her husband couldn't rescue their son from the children's home because of heavy fighting. They had to leave Kherson without him.
Leaves on trees shaking in the wind. Uliha says, my husband goes to the bathroom and cries. He doesn't want Veronica to see him. Veronica balances on a thin branch just above the grass. Uliha continues, I also go outside so no one sees me crying. I miss him very much. It's very painful for me. Veronica's climbing.
This is the first time Uliha has seen the footage of the children being taken away from the home.
Uliha watches the footage on a phone and wipes tears from her eye. In the footage, the soldier kisses the baby's hand. Uliha says, I can see they're Russians. Their uniforms are Russian. One has an insignia. Russians are taking the children away. Maybe I'll see Victor here. She plays the footage. Various women are holding and carrying babies. Uliha says, here. She looks up quickly, then turns her attention back to the screen. The interviewer says, pause it if you want. Uliha pauses it and says, Victor. In the paused video, Victor is being held up to the window from inside a bus by a woman with glasses. He's sucking on a dummy, wearing a blue winter coat, and his hands are pressed against the glass. Victoria explains, Uliha is such a clear example of a victim of this war. Uliha hands back the phone and bows her head as she cries, covering her face. Victoria goes on, a mother who suffered a great deal from this crime of illegal deportation. Uliha sobs with her hands over her face.
Victor is one of around 20,000 children who, according to the Ukrainian government, have been taken unlawfully by Russian forces since the start of the full-scale invasion in 2022. The Russian government disputes this figure, and denies deporting Ukrainian children.
A road crossing from above, then the shiny side of a train that stopped at a platform. Victoria walks along the platform as people step off the train.
Victoria's also investigating the cases of children missing from other areas of Ukraine. Mariupol, a city still occupied by Russian forces, was virtually destroyed.
She's now on the train.
Children taken from there have appeared on Russian television.
In a video, a Russian man says, during the liberation of Mariupol, these children were saved by an angel.
The Russian government says it moves Ukrainian children for their own safety and denies using them for propaganda.
Victoria frowns as a woman in the video exclaims, Yuri Leonidovich, these are the children you saved. Aneshka, good girl, don't be shy. Aneshka, don't be shy, you can come and hug. Kids, let's all hug. Look, this is the person who rescued you. A man says, the children of Donbas, children of Mariupol, these are our children. In the video, a girl has the colours of the Russian flag painted on her cheeks and some children are hugging someone. Victoria looks grave.
Victoria is on her way to meet the family of another missing child.
A tram moves along a track on a road. Nastya, aged 4.
Nastya disappeared in Mariupol.
Victoria greets a woman. Good afternoon, Olena. It's good to finally meet you. Hi.
This is Nastya's grandmother, Olena.
Olena plays a video on her phone and says, this is her. She's pretending to be Santa Claus. In the video, Nastya, a little blonde girl, is walking in a hunch with her hands over one shoulder by a Christmas tree. A voice says, are you Santa Claus carrying gifts? Olena says, Nastya wasn't naughty, but she had a character. She nods her head with a smile. We lived nearby and often visited each other. They always brought flowers when they came for a party or birthday. Grandma, this is for you. Smiling, she says, she always came in with flowers in front of her, and I couldn't see her behind them. In the video, Nastya is wearing pink bunny ears on a headband and a pink dress. Victoria asks, can you send me that? Another video.
This is the last video of Nastya and her parents in Mariupol.
Olena says she was in a pink jacket. Despite everything, she's smiling cheerfully, standing next to her mom. She smiles sadly, then goes on, this was when we last saw each other. People gathered by trees.
Shortly after the video was recorded, the apartment block where they lived was shelled. Rescuers couldn't find any trace of Nastya or her parents.
Olena says, I could watch this video a million times. Victoria gazes at her. A photo of Nastya wearing a flower crown and beaming.
3 months later, Olena thought she'd found her granddaughter. A child who looked just like Nastya was in a report on Russian television about Ukrainian children being fostered by Russian families.
I saw a girl resembling my granddaughter with exactly the same plaits, the same hair, about the same height, the same age. A blonde woman leads a little girl down some steps by the hand on a Russian news report. Olena says, I watched it and said, it's definitely our Nastya. She looks like our Nastya. But when we scrolled through this video after making it larger, we saw the eyes didn't look the same. Nastya has eyes as blue as a cornflower. She can make them so big. In my heart, I'd really like it to be her so I could take her home one day. Sometimes I hide away and cry. Looking at her pictures. I miss her so much. She frowns and shakes her head, looking devastated. The photo of Nastya on a shelf. Looking grave, Olena says, the most important thing is to find her. Then things will get better. She stares off into the distance, her brow knitted. Clouds passing across the sky.
Прошу вас.
A young man with tanned skin and stubble wearing a cap films himself. He says, I'm asking you to help me return home to Ukraine. It's now day 406 of my resistance in the territory of the Russian Federation. A city skyline with tall buildings shrouded in mist and the golden curved rooftop of a grand building. Bogdan, aged 17. Vehicles move along a road by a river. How are you? Bogdan says, I'm alive. I won't be okay until I'm back home. Bogdan's on a video call with a white woman with wavy dark hair. She says, I'm in a car park. I found a quiet one. There's no one here and there's some fresh air, so it's safe to speak.
Maria Lebedeva works with Victoria.
Maria looks serious as she listens to Bogdan.
She's in touch with Bogdan, who was in Mariupol when Russian forces invaded.
He says, my best friend died in front of me. He shielded me. When a shell landed, he jumped out in front of me. I didn't manage to get down. I didn't know what to do, so he jumped and that was it. He was hit by shrapnel.
Both Bogdan's parents died before the war. He was 16 and living in care when Russian forces found him.
Maria asks, was it your choice to go to Russia from Ukraine? He responds, we had no choice. We were told, you're going.
It's 18 months since Bogdan was taken. He's now living with a Russian foster family.
Maria explains, when I first got in touch with Bogdan, it was by video call. To him, she says, I can't imagine what it's like for you. Every day, this child counts the number of days he's been in Russia, like a prisoner marking the days. He counts every one. On the video call, Bogdan smiles humorlessly and says, today is the 407th. Maria says, take care, and he replies, bye. They end the call. Traffic on a busy multi-lane road in the city. Now driving, Maria notes, I'm dedicated to this because I can't help thinking that somewhere in Russia there are Ukrainian children who have no one to stand up for them. I'd hate to think there are orphans who believe they've been abandoned, that Ukraine has deserted them and there's no one to stand up for them. Driving her car, Maria goes on, did these children have a choice? No one gave them a choice. A red traffic light above the road. Kherson, Ukraine. Buildings surrounded by trees from above. Material floating in a broken window. Graffiti reading, Kherson, I love you, will you marry me? Then shoes dangling from a wire.
Victoria is trying to find out more about what happened to the children taken from the home in Kherson.
Victoria watches young boys riding on bikes in the street. She says, on the 24th of February 2022, the left bank part of the Kherson region was occupied by the Russian army. 3 days later, they began to enter Kherson. Amateur footage of a tank rolling along the street, then armed soldiers marching behind it. At that time, the entire staff of the children's home, along with the children, were in a state of shock. They had to find the nearest shelter, which they did. A cross on the roof of a building, then footage of the toddlers in the basement of the church.
A local pastor, Pavlo Smolyakov, said they could stay in the basement of his church.
Pavlo leads Victoria through a dark room, then turns on the lights. He says, "This is a room where the children were. This is what it looks like. This is the church basement. We used to put on activities for children here." Victoria nods as she looks around. Children's shoes lined up on the floor, and the toddlers wandering around the basement.
There were rumors Russian forces were looking for children. The pastor thought they were being watched.
Leaning on a pew in the church, Pavlo says, "A car was parked not far from here. It was always there with people in it. They didn't get in or out, but they were always there. A teddy bear tied to a railing outside."
The children spent 2 months in hiding. Then Russian soldiers arrived at the church.
Pavlo, I introduced myself. Then I asked him, "What's your name?" "I'm the navigator," he replied. I asked him again, "Is that your nickname? What's your name, please?" "No, I'm the navigator. I'm the representative of President Putin on social issues in southern Russia." I said, "What's that got to do with us?" He said, "I want to see the children."
The man calling himself the navigator ordered the children be sent back to the children's home. Russian television gave an extraordinary reason for the move.
A reporter in a Russian news report says, "In Kherson, a Ukrainian attempt to kidnap children from a children's home was prevented. The children were to be taken to Europe to use their organs for transplantation. The scared children were returned to the children's home." Pavlo says, "Propaganda is propaganda. There are more lies than truth."
The man in charge, the navigator, is called Igor Kostyukevich. He's a member of the Russian parliament.
"To Putin, thank you for your support."
Kostyukevich has been sanctioned by the US and the UK for supporting Putin's war in Ukraine.
A reporter, "Quiet hour in the children's home. Anna Kuznetsova saw it for herself."
3 weeks later, a VIP from Moscow arrived at the children's home.
Anna leaves a room and says, "Some are sleeping, some listen to fairy tales."
This is Anna Kuznetsova. She's a deputy head of the Russian parliament.
In a news report, she's filmed walking through a room in the children's home, then holding a baby's hand. She tells the baby, "Clap, clap." The Russian news report films toys in the children's home. Now, wearing her bulletproof vest, Victoria walks through the same children's home and looks around. She explains, "She was filmed next to this fridge and table." The footage of Anna leaning down in front of the baby by the fridge. Victoria, "I remember this moment. I've watched the video many times, zooming in to see her face." Anna's kneeling down in front of the baby, who's sitting on a blonde woman's lap. Victoria says, "Kuznetsova was playing with him. She's like a wolf in sheep's clothing." Anna waves to the smiling baby in the news report. A baby chair with a teddy bear design next to empty cribs. Victoria, "It's absolutely unacceptable that they were here. Some of the Kremlin's top officials came here to visit our children." Why? What was the purpose? A sheer curtain with cute animal figures on it over a pile of toys. Now, grass blowing in a breeze and water rippling on a lake. Victor, aged 2. Victoria's with Ulyaha.
Working with the Ukrainian government, Victoria has helped Olya lodge a request with Russia for the return of her son. The Russian government insists families travel to Russia to get their children back.
Ludo.
A smiling woman with blonde hair opens a door and says, "Good afternoon," to Ulyaha, before hugging her.
Victoria wants Olya's sister Ludmila to go with her.
Ludmila asks, "What if they start shooting at us?" Victoria replies, We can't guarantee anything, but in principle it should be safe. This is not the front line. Людмила says, so you're saying we'll take our child, won't be detained, and we'll return home safely? Or you don't know? Victoria responds, Людмила, you're absolutely right. All of that could happen. These dangers are real. What I'm really worried about is they may not let you bring Victor back. They could come up with any reason, like they've given him Russian citizenship already. Людмила, I must go with her. She won't make it on her own. Ульяха looks grave. The city at dusk, the sun sinking in the sky. Now, cars on the road at night.
Victoria and her assistant, Diana Kuchkudan, are also investigating what happened to another child who went missing from the Kherson children's home.
Margarita, aged 10 months. Victoria and Diana sit at a table. Victoria says, in the case of the children's home, there are more questions than answers. Diana types on a laptop, then clicks on a video. She pauses the video on a thin, grey-haired woman wearing a white doctor's coat with a stethoscope around her neck.
When the home was under Russian control, it was run by this woman, Tatiana Zavalska. She also hosted visitors from Moscow.
A photo of Tatiana with two men and two women. Victoria says, this woman in the middle grabbed our attention. I started looking for people who could describe her and tell me more about her. The woman is wearing a lilac dress.
Victoria finds out the woman in lilac also visited a children's hospital nearby.
A block-shaped building with many floors and boarded-up windows. Kherson Children's Hospital. A middle-aged, red-haired woman shows Victoria around inside. Pointing to drawings, she says, here we have the children's artwork.
Dr. Natalia Lyutikova was on duty the day the woman in lilac turned up.
Natalia takes a phone from Victoria, who asks, can you name anyone in this photo? Natalia explains, this is Tatiana Zavalska, and this woman dressed in lilac was introduced as the head of children's affairs. Was the woman in lilac there with bodyguards? Natalia replies, yes, they were escorted by three armed soldiers. A photo of a baby.
At the time, a 10-month-old girl from the children's home was being treated here for bronchitis. She was called Margarita.
Natalia says, she probably still is, smiley. She loved tenderness, cuddling people. Such a cute little girl.
Margarita's mother had given up custody of her daughter shortly after she was born. The woman in lilac took a close interest in the little girl.
Natalia explains, she was the one who visited us, and she's the one who paid attention to Margarita. She nods slowly, looking grave. She looks away. A painting of a wolf wearing a hat on a wall in the hospital, then leaves blowing in a breeze and a doll lying on the ground outside.
Within a week of the visit, Margarita was discharged from the hospital, back to the children's home.
Sitting in the room with the cribs in the children's home, Victoria says, this is a room for the youngest children, from newborns to 1.5. Margarita stayed here. She was the youngest in the children's home. Victoria presses her lips together.
The next morning, armed men arrived and drove Margarita away. It all happened 2 months before the other children were taken from the home.
Victoria says, the facts haven't been fully established and there's still a lot to investigate. The photo of Tatiana with the woman in lilac. Victoria says, the woman in lilac's identity is unclear. A building with golden domes overlooking a bridge across a river. Bogdan, aged 17.
Bogdan's desperate to return to Ukraine. He's already tried to escape from Russia.
Maria says, of course, Bogdan was very worried. He was meant to wait in a particular place, but the phone connection was lost. It was obvious something had gone wrong. It was a dreadful feeling. Dark clouds gathering over a golden dome.
After a week's silence, he got back in touch. A Ukrainian lawyer, Katerina Bobrovska, heard about his case and agreed to help him.
Bogdan, can you tell me about your attempt to return to Ukraine? Was it your choice? It was entirely my choice.
Bogdan was stopped at a Russian border post.
The security services arrived immediately. It was a military car. He introduced himself as an operative. He started screaming, threatening. I told the truth. I needed to cross the border to get to Ukraine. Katerina says he told me what had happened when he was detained. He said it was the Federal Security Service. He was treated very harshly. He said they used not only emotional but also physical pressure. The first thing he texted was, "Katia, don't believe what you see on Russian TV." A Russian newsreader says, "Children are like bargaining chips. The Ukrainian provocation involving the sham kidnapping of a child rescued in Ukraine has failed."
Russian television filmed Bogdan after he was returned to the foster family he was staying with. The TV report said his failed escape was really a Ukrainian plot to kidnap him.
Bogdan is a 17-year-old from Mariupol. He finds the strength to smile, although he has no time for jokes. The boy was almost kidnapped and lured from the Moscow region to Ukraine. Katerina, I knew he was being used, the same way they use thousands of other Ukrainian children for propaganda purposes. I saw he was scared. I saw dark circles under his eyes.
The TV report claimed Ukrainian secret agents had threatened to kill members of Bogdan's family if he didn't go back to Ukraine.
Oleg Pasabin, Russian TV. A question for Maria.
Maria Lvova-Belova is President Putin's children's commissioner. She claimed Bogdan was grateful to Russia for saving him.
I know Bogdan, so I'll be pleased to comment. He's very pro-Russian. He stands for Russia's victory. We managed to stop him at the last moment using law enforcement at the border. It's very important to protect our children. The methods the Ukrainians used were completely inappropriate.
Bogdan has now been made a Russian citizen. It comes with a big risk.
Maria Lebedeva says what Russia is doing to Ukrainian children is inhumane. What does it mean for a child like Bogdan to get a Russian passport? He becomes a Russian citizen in the eyes of Russia, and at the age of 18, he can be drafted into the army, the Russian army. This is Bogdan's worst nightmare.
Katerina's been getting secret messages for months from Bogdan.
In a phone video, "I've got a feeling I might not be alive for very long. I want as many people as possible to know that, despite all the pressure, a person can stand by his beliefs. So let's stay strong." A lake surrounded by trees. Victor, aged 2.
Oliha has news about her missing son. Victor's in Crimea, which was seized by Russia from Ukraine in 2014.
I was crying, then laughing and crying. When I told my husband, he cried too. We're glad my son is alive. At least he's okay for now.
Oleha now has permission from the Russian government to go and get Viktor. Ukraine says so far around 400 children have been returned. The Russian government says it's many more.
I'm a bit nervous and scared. How can I gain his trust? What will I say to him? I'm worried if he'll come to me. My heart beats faster when I think about it. A butterfly leaving a flower.
Oleha and her sister Lyudmila are about to begin the long journey to Russia. First, they're going to Ukraine's capital, Kyiv.
They embrace. Are you ready? Of course, I'm always ready. Have you packed your bags? Yes. Lyudmila strokes Veronica's hair. You're my beautiful girl, aren't you?
It's time for Oleha to say goodbye to her daughter, Veronica.
She sits Veronica on her knee. What do you tell her about Viktor? Ulia says, just that I'm going to get him without saying where. Veronica has blown up a yellow balloon. Oleha finishes inflating the balloon, then ties a knot in it. With a gap-toothed smile, Veronica bats it into the air. A building with golden domes, hazy in the distance. Rain rippling a lake's surface. Nastya, aged 4.
Victoria's got news. Olena's granddaughter may have been seen in occupied eastern Ukraine. Nastya went missing in Mariupol along with her parents.
So we're just waiting, nothing else. Victoria says, your situation is extremely difficult. It's hard to imagine a tougher one. There's a possibility Nastya was somewhere near occupied Novozovsk. And then somewhere further inside Russia. Looking at a framed photo of her granddaughter, Olena says, I don't know, it's so traumatic for a child. I can't even imagine.
Nastya's disappearance has also been in the news in Russia. The government says it's looking for her and blames Ukraine for what happened.
A Russian newsreader says, one assumption was that she was adopted by a new family. After all, Nastya was very young when the Kyiv regime destroyed their house, like everything else in its path. An interviewee, the child was under 4 years old. There was shelling. She could have been scared. She could have run away, got lost. A well-meaning person could have picked her up, trying to save her. So we're looking for her. I want to believe this story, like many others, will have a happy ending. After watching, Olena says, everything is so twisted. They shelled a residential area, the Kyiv regime.
Deputy head of the Russian parliament, Anna Kuznetsova, is in the same news report. She also makes outlandish claims about why Ukraine is demanding its children back.
7% of Ukraine's budget, $2 billion, comes from black market sales of transplanted organs. We understand this is state-sanctioned. Victoria, yes, it's just fascinating. Olena adds, deporting children, selling them for their organs, recruiting them. Victoria, but that's what she says. Olena answers, yes, and people listen. Some even take it seriously. I don't want to listen to that nonsense. We must keep searching. I live by hope and faith. A city skyline with an imposing statue of a warrior holding a shield and sword aloft, then several lanes of city traffic. Bogdan, aged 17.
3 months after Bogdan's first attempt to escape Russia, he made another. It also failed.
Katerina says they told him if he tried to return to Ukraine again, they'd put him in a psychiatric hospital.
Bogdan now fears he'll be conscripted into the Russian army when he turns 18 and sent to fight his fellow Ukrainians.
The first conscription notice was 6 months ago, right? Bogdan says, I was in the military office. They gave me a military registration. I underwent a medical. What did they write in the military papers? Fit to serve.
It's now just 2 weeks before Bogdan's 18th birthday. He's received another set of call-up papers.
So you've got a second call-up notice. Did they bring it to you? On a video call, he says, they brought it. Bogdan understands he's being prepared for war, for the war against Ukraine. Why don't they let you go? I know too much. I've seen too much. Bogdan looks over his shoulder. Is there someone there? He nods. Let's finish so you don't get into trouble. Faintly, Bogdan nods his head again. He's very nervous. He's texting me now. He said, it was extremely risky just now. A blurred view of a city skyline. Margarita, aged 10 months.
Victoria and Diana have made a breakthrough in their investigation into the disappearance of Margarita.
Looking at a family photo, Victoria says, she came for something important, didn't she? Diana, such an important person, traveled from Moscow to Kherson in her lilac dress and her blue shoes. Victoria, finally we got information about her name and who she is.
They've uncovered a Russian document authorizing Margarita's transfer from the Kherson Children's Home to a Moscow hospital. It names the woman who took her, Ina Varlamova. An online search confirms she's the mysterious woman in lilac.
Why was she chosen for this strange trip to Kherson? I don't know yet.
But with no more information, the search for Margarita goes cold.
A photo of Margarita on a laptop screen. Birds flying over city rooftops. Victor, aged 2. To Olyaha and Ludmila. Have you ever spent a night in Russia? Ludmila replies, no, I've never been abroad.
Olyaha and her sister Ludmila are leaving for Russia, hoping to get Victor back.
When you speak to the border guards, they won't speak Ukrainian. It's very important that you understand exactly what you say, because they could tell you anything. We must stay calm. This is Russia. You never know with these people. It's best to just be yourself. Of course, but try to control your emotions, which are understandable. Passing cars reflected in a puddle, then a waddling pigeon. You know, you can't film anything. They'll check your phones on the way back. I won't text anyone. No one needs to know. Sitting on a bus, Olyaha and Ludmila repeatedly cross themselves. They may ask provocative questions. But you have to remember that you have full rights. As the bus sets off, Olyaha is looking out of the window with a preoccupied air. As Victoria and Diana sit down at a desk in a meeting room, a window blind rises behind them.
Panorama has teamed up with Russian investigators to help Victoria and Diana find out what happened to Margarita. Using a thriving online market for documents from inside Russia, it's possible to find out more about the woman in lilac, Ina Varlamova. Train records show she traveled to Crimea on the same day Margarita was taken from the Kherson children's home by armed men. That night, Ina Varlamova took the train to Moscow.
A document listing the passengers on board with the relevant sections translated from the Russian.
The search for documents also reveals she got married soon after she returned to Moscow. Her husband? A high-profile Russian politician called Sergei Mironov. He's the leader of a major political party, Just Russia.
Mironov Sergei Mikhailovich.
Mironov is a key ally of President Putin. He's been sanctioned by the UK and the EU since 2014, when Russia annexed Crimea.
Mironov's addressing a crowd. Soon, all of New Russia will be part of the Russian Federation. Our strength is in truth. The victory will be ours. Russia will prevail. Russia will be great. Hurrah! Victoria, he's a politician of a very high caliber. He's just one of Putin's hangers-on. Diana, Putin's puppet, 100%.
Further digging reveals an adoption record. For Victoria and Diana, it's a crucial breakthrough.
They're looking at a phone. A child, right? Victoria reads Marina Mironova. Born 31st of October 2021, like Margarita, I'm shocked. So am I. Victoria, this is the information we're missing. It's incredible. I need to see it again.
Margarita's date of birth is on the adoption record. It shows her name has been changed to Marina, her place of birth to Russia, and her new parents as Ina Varlamova and Sergei Mironov. The documents show a key ally of Vladimir Putin adopted a child after his wife had taken her from Ukraine. Under international law, removing a child from their home country with no intention of giving them back is a war crime. This year, a documentary about Sergei Mironov's life was broadcast on Russian television.
Here are my book's illustrations. So these are all episodes from your life, your whole life in pictures. Basically, yes.
There's a recent addition to Mironov's gallery. A painting of him holding a girl around Margarita's age.
What's in this painting? Life goes on. You look happy here. Of course. The painting resembles a comic book illustration and paints an idealized picture of Mironov. Panorama wrote to Sergei Mironov and Ina Varlamova about Margarita. They did not respond. Driving a car, Victoria asks, how far away are we? Diana responds, the border with Belarus is 34 minutes away.
Almost 2 weeks after leaving Ukraine for Russia, Oleha and her sister are due to return with Victor.
Victoria, I do this because few people do it. I love challenges and solving them. When I do, I feel human. She parks her car close to a roadblock. Ukraine, Belarus border. A stray dog trots past. Victoria, you know they'll have to walk in this cold. Diana, from the other side, Yes, they'll walk there, then cross and walk here. Young Veronica in a pink hat and coat carrying a teddy bear. Where are you? We're being checked at the Ukrainian border. Diana, oh, you're already at the Ukrainian border. Yes. Veronica is waiting for you. We can hear her voice. Victoria says to Veronica, she's on her way, hurrying with Ludmilla and Victor. Victoria flashes her gap-toothed smile. Oliaha, hello. I'm so glad to see you at last. In a dark room wearing a black leather jacket, Uliaha's smiling. She picks up a boy wearing a red anorak with its hood up over a woolly hat. My son. The boy looks startled. Veronica comes along, holding out her teddy bear and says, take it, my brother. The boy clutches a soft toy and stares as Uliaha hugs and kisses Veronica, who says, can you see the scratch on my nose? Uliaha, Victor, give your sister a kiss. Veronica hugs him, and they're joined by a man in black and red sportswear who puts his arms around them all. Victoria says to the saucer-eyed little boy, hello, you're so cool. Uliaha picks him up. Meet Auntie Victoria. She shakes his hand. Will you go to Victoria? Let's hug. She takes him into her arms and Victor looks all around, his mouth open and eyes still wide with bemusement. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Mama.
From this children's home alone, there are 45 children missing. We can't be complacent. Uliaha snuggles up to Victor, who's now smiling broadly. Katerina's looking at her phone. Bogdan, on the 24th of October 2023, I met the Commissioner for Human Rights of the Russian Federation.
Bogdan's left another secretly recorded message for his lawyer. He's been told by a Russian official he might be allowed to return to Ukraine, but he doesn't believe them.
We agreed that my sister would take me out of here, but immediately after Moscow Koya left, I was put under pressure. I was told I'd be admitted to hospital. In my opinion, it's just so I turn 18 and then I can't return. Although Russia told the whole world they'd hand me over, they're not going to.
Time's running out. As soon as Bogdan turns 18, he can be called up to the Russian army. Bogdan and his lawyer decide they can't stay silent any longer.
We did everything we could to bring Bogdan back without publicity. But when we realized that Russia wouldn't give him back, I talked to Bogdan and we decided we would shout about it.
They release a video on social media pleading for action and asking the Ukrainian president for help.
Dear President Zelensky, my name is Katerina Bobrovska. I am Bogdan Yermokin's lawyer. He was illegally deported to Russia. I am Bogdan Yermokin. I'm currently in Russia. I ask you, Vladimir Zelensky, to help me return home. Katerina says, in doing this, Russia shows it's committing another serious crime. The crime of not returning Ukrainian children to Ukraine. This is an unjustified delay by Russia to repatriate Ukrainian children. I don't understand why they would hold them, why they would commit such crimes. And there are many of these children. The International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for President Putin and his children's commissioner for the unlawful deportation of Ukrainian children. The Russian government denies this allegation. The Russian government says it considers large parts of Ukraine to be Russian and the people living there its citizens, including children. It denies holding children against their will and preventing families from being reunited. Uliaha and Victor, shall we go over there? Let's go. They cross a playground. Are your hands cold? She blows on his hands. I kept thinking, where is he? Is he alive or not? Everything crossed my mind. To Victor, was it bad without mummy? She lifts him onto a roundabout and he grins as he spins around. I can't explain what was in my heart. He'll have one last operation and he'll be able to talk. He'll play with his friends. Now I'm together with my son and daughter. Enough? Let's go. Victor is stroking his mom's hair. She says, "Is your mom beautiful?" And he smiles. With Victor in her arms, his little hand holding onto her shoulder, Uliaha kisses and nuzzles his cheek. Victoria has now been appointed Margarita's legal guardian by the Ukrainian government. Victoria has commissioned her own portrait of Margarita, imagining what she looks like now. A painter working on the portrait of Margarita. The world needs to know about Margarita's existence. They wanted to erase her. We need to bring her back. More than 40 children are still missing from the Kherson home. After negotiations involving President Zelensky, Bogdan was allowed to return to Ukraine on his 18th birthday. He spent 544 days in Russia. The Russian government says that it did not intend to conscript Bogdan and that he had wanted to stay in Russia, but changed his mind. There are many children like Nastya who are still missing. In a headscarf, Olena is lighting candles. Then she clasps her hands in fervent prayer as tears run down her face.